7th verse, says, "Unto the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Just think about this passage here. Thank you, Rick. This congregation was commended. They had kept the word. They had strength. God blessed them and was going to help them. But I'm thinking about verse 11. He says, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." I've been challenged with the thought of holding fast to faith, to our covenant with God, holding fast to the Scriptures, what the Bible teaches us in principle, to hold fast. And looking on that word fast, you know, usually we think in our term is something quick. But to hold fast meant to hold down, to keep, possess, retain, seize on. That's what it means to hold fast. To hold down, keep, possess, retain, seize on. And my little grandsons, they can probably tell you what a headlock is, because I do that all the time with them. I wrestle with them and get them in little headlocks. That's kind of we used to use that when we wrestled in our neighborhood. If you could get the guy in a headlock, you had a pretty good position, a pretty good hold on him. And I play that with my grandchildren. I mention that word a lot to them, headlock. They start running from me. But it's the hold down, to seize, to keep. And that's what we want. And I do. When I get them in a headlock, they're not. They don't go nowhere. They've got to surrender. But that's what we want to do with what God has, His dealings with us, what the Bible teaches. We want to hold on to it and to seize it. And I feel like it's critical in our time, especially in our day and time, because I feel like more people are going away from righteousness than there are coming to righteousness. So that makes it a critical time, I feel like, for us is to hold fast on, you know, the things that God has revealed to us, the things that He's spoken to our hearts about, the Scriptures that He's opened up to us and revealed to us. We want to hold fast, hold on to those things that God has given to us. They're very, our relationship with Him, we want to hold fast to that. I appreciate the Sunday school this morning about our connection, being connected in to Christ. We want to hold fast to that connection. I want to get another verse in Colossians, the first chapter. Colossians, the first chapter. In the 21st verse, he said, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." He mentions here continuing in the faith, grounded and settled, and said, be not moved away. You know, the Lord doesn't want us to be moved away from the Scriptures and from what He's taught. He wants us to be able to hold on. And there have been people that have been in life moved away from the Scriptures and what God has taught. But we don't want to be moved away. We want to be able to hold. You know, if we, in life, if we don't have the Scriptures and we don't have God, what do we have? We don't have nothing. There's no future. There's no, if we don't have a hope of something, and I believe Paul mentioned that one place. He said, if in this life only we have Christ, we're of all men most miserable. He was looking beyond this life to something else. He was looking for something else beyond this life. So we want to hold fast to that. We want to hold fast to... I thought about different things that the Scriptures have taught. Creation. There's a lot of books that teach, I'm sure, that teach creation. But most of them have come from the Bible. In Genesis, we have the very, in the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. And He created male and female. You know, that's an answer. It tells us where we came from. And it tells us that we have, if He created us, then we've got a responsibility towards Him. We belong to Him. We're not our own. And that gives us a responsibility. But you know, in the annals of, before there was a Bible, what other book taught that? I mean, God gave that. That's a foundation. That's a pillar. that the Scriptures has taught. It teaches us about sin, our transgression against God. And it teaches us of our first parents, Adam and Eve, and how they were tempted and they sinned against God when they yielded to temptation and they were separated from the garden that they had. And then we go on to the time of Abraham, who began to follow God, and God called on his heart and he moved. He went. And he's the father of faith. He trusted in God. He believed in God. And it said he went out not knowing whither he went. He just told, God told him, I want you to go to a land that I'll show you. And he was willing. He got up and moved. that's faith. And Lord, help us when God begins to talk to us and begins to burden us and deal with us, that we move in faith and obedience, being obedient to God's Spirit. We want to be that. We want to have that faith, that trust, and that obedience. It teaches us the fall of man. It teaches us of sin. I don't believe there's another book that has dealt extensively with sin like the Scriptures have. It teaches us what God likes, what He doesn't like, what is wrong in His sight. You know, the world is losing sight of that. They're losing sight. It's like they're losing anchor. They're losing pillars. What's that one verse in the Proverbs say? It says if the foundations be destroyed, what will the righteous do? Something to that effect. If the foundations of truth and righteousness are destroyed, things get bad. If there is no, and that's the way society's getting, it's like there's hardly no right and wrong anymore. Well, it just all depends. But we believe the Bible teaches that there's a right, there's wrong, there's sin, there's evil, there's good, there's righteousness. The Scriptures teach that Christ is the remedy of sin. You know, from the beginning, the prophecies that come, that I'm going to send you a Savior, a Messiah, to redeem from sin. And then we have the New Testament that teaches us that Christ came, He gave His life, He died for us. He gave the gospel. He taught us the truth. He taught righteousness, godliness, and those things are so good and beneficial and profitable to us in our lives. Where would we be today without the Scriptures? It teaches us also about the end of the world, that there's going to be an end to what we see now. I don't know of any other book in the world that gives that kind of information, that kind of knowledge through prophecies of the Scripture that help us to see and recognize. We just want to be able to hold on and continue to follow faith, continue to follow in obedience and trust God and allow the Lord to help us. There's a verse in Hebrews, the second chapter, I believe. Hebrews, the second chapter, and the first verse. He said, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. You know, the things that God has spoken to us about and talked to us about, Lord, help us today not to allow those things to slip from us. And I believe they can, or He wouldn't have wrote this Scripture. And there in the Revelations, when you read the different congregations, some of them had let some things slip. Some of them had let some things slide. And they were accepting things that God wasn't pleased with. But He told this congregation, I want you to hold fast. And He mentioned that other times too. He said, hold fast to what you have. He said, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? So let's give the more earnest heed. Let's give diligent heed and hold on to what God has given. I was thinking it too about the king in the Old Testament that one of the prophets told him, said, you're going to go to Babylon. Another prophet told him, you'll never see Babylon. And so he just threw it out, did his own thing, did what he wanted to do, and he didn't give any credit because he said, you know, something's amiss here. And so he just kept going his own way. You know, he could have profited if he would have taken heed to what he had heard. He could have saved himself a lot of trouble if he would have taken heed to what he heard, but he didn't. He discounted it. But you know, both of those things, both of those prophets were correct. He went to Babylon. He went into captivity, but he didn't see Babylon because they put his eyes out. So both of those prophecies were true, but he didn't believe them. He discounted them. And I think about sometimes there's things that people maybe don't understand and don't comprehend, and it's so easy just to, you know, cast the whole thing aside. You know, this don't make sense to me, or I don't understand this. And it's so easy for people just to cast it aside. But Lord, help us today. And I think if this man, if he would, that king would have humbled his heart and would have followed and took heed to what had been told him, he could have saved himself some heartache and some trouble. And I believe, I feel like one thing, humbling our hearts is very important for us in holding fast to what we have. When we humble our hearts before God, God is able to work with us. But if we just go on, we're determined to do our own thing, and we just set our heels and we just go, we're going to get in trouble. But if we can humble our hearts before God, I believe that's part of holding fast. And there's a lot of different times when we have to humble ourselves. And you know, it's not always easy. And it doesn't always come just natural. Sometimes people override us. People say things about us. People do things to us. But you know, I believe one of the keys and secrets of being able to hold on to God and hold fast to what He has is that those times, if we're able to humble our hearts and say, Lord, it doesn't matter whatever it costs, whatever it takes, whatever You want me to do, whatever it is, whatever You want me to do, I'm going to follow You. I'm going to be obedient to You. And I believe if we have that attitude and that spirit to humble ourselves before God, sometimes when we fail, make mistakes, and you know, it's our nature just kind of brush it aside and slide it over. But when we humble our hearts and we say, you know, that was to me the difference, the great significant difference between Saul and David. You know, both of them failed. And when I look at it, it almost looks like David's failure was more grievous than Saul's. But the thing was, Saul never really humbled his heart before God. And David did. David, he got to the point when Nathan confronted him with his sin. He said, "It's me. I've sinned. I've come short." And God forgave David. God blessed him and he was able to maintain. And I believe it's the same. Saul never did that. And Saul just, he grew from failure to being worse. His heart grew harder, more stubborn. And then he got involved in all kinds of evil things before the end. But David humbled his heart. So Lord, help us today to hold fast. Help us to maintain with desire our connection with God through the Scriptures. Brother Galen, that was brought out in the Sunday school. Our connection with Christ is through the Scriptures, how the Bible teaches us to live. We want to hold fast to those things. You know, the older I get, the more it seems like I'm looking forward towards the next life. And I believe it's there. I believe in heaven with all my heart. I believe the Lord went to prepare a place for us. And I believe we can all make it. I believe it will be worth it all. Whatever we have to go through here, it will be worth it all if we yield ourselves to God and submit ourselves to Him and allow Him to have His way. And to the best of our knowledge and ability, we follow and pursue His leadership in our lives. I believe we can be able to make heaven our home and hear those words, "Well done." You know, when I hear the words "well done," it doesn't mean to me that there probably wasn't any mistakes or any failures or any disappointments along the way. But it was someone that kept going. Someone that kept consecrating. Someone that kept digging. Someone that kept pursuing. Trying to understand the Lord and looking for His leading and guidance in their lives. You know, I believe there's probably going to be a lot of battle scars, a lot of spiritual wounds and things of that nature. But God can help us. And I thank the Lord for that today. I want to see the end of a Christian life. You know, that will be, it'll be worth it all. Any sacrifice that we have to make, and I believe that's what the writer here, I mean, there in Revelations, he's, hold fast. Hold fast what you got. Continue to walk in faith. Continue to trust God. Continue to lean upon Him and look to Him. And the Lord will help us. And I want to be able to humble my heart before Him and to hold. I don't want to forget the things that God has given me. I remember as a child the first time I got saved. Uncle Lloyd, he told me a lot of things I need to do before I left camp meeting. And when I look back, and I believe I was really saved. I mean, the Lord was revealed to my heart. I had it. But when I look back, it wasn't like I don't ever remember just turning down the Lord and saying, "I don't want you no more." But it was just like I forgot. When I got back home and my environment and the weeks and months began to pass and I just got back into that where I was, it was like it slipped. It slipped from me. I forgot what I had and I forgot And I believe people do that in life. But Lord, help us today. He said, hold fast that which thou hast, that no man keep thy crown. You know, there's a lot of influences in the world today. And Lord, help us to be on our guard, be watchful and prayerful. There's a lot of things in the world today. We just seem like we're in a world. I don't know if you could ever see those waves. What are they, radio waves? If we could see all the waves of information going through the world today, we'd probably be overwhelmed. Looking at all the lines, there is so much information and so much that is bombarding our minds constantly. Help us today to... one more scripture there in Galatians. I wanted to get that. Let's see if I can find it here. Galatians, the 5th chapter. He said in the first verse, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And then he goes on. He mentions verse 6. It says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So here they had, he said, stand fast in the liberty where Christ had made him free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And there were people beginning to bring back them under the law, began to teach them the law. And in verse 4 he says, Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you have are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. You know, the Lord wants us to trust in Him. We don't trust in our works, we don't trust in our ability, but we trust in Christ to for our salvation and for our blessing and our help. And these people were persuaded and moved away from that. I had a little thought I want to get. This scripture here, he says, you did run... No, verse 6, I'm sorry. It says, but faith worketh by love. I want to... there's another scripture in Romans 10:10. He says, for with the heart... man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And this other scripture said, faith that works by love. So faith is not just a, it's not just a head knowledge. It's not just an idea or a concept in the mind. But faith comes from loving, having God's love in our hearts and our lives, and loving Him and serving Him. Now, one place where we used to live, there was a bathroom. It had a little bathroom off to the side of the bedroom. And in the bathroom, there was a plug-in by the sink. Those are always nice to have, especially if you got an electric shaver or a blow dryer or whatever you want to use. And I plugged in that plug-in, but nothing would work. So I believe one time I went and checked the breaker, and it looked like all the breakers were on, but still that thing wasn't working. So I just never did use it. There was one on the back wall, it was a little inconvenient. I think I had a little extension cord and everything. But you know, years later, I pulled that thing out, and there was no wires connected to that receptacle. there was nothing there. So it didn't work.
So it was just for looks.
Huh?
It was just for looks.
That's all it was. It was just filling the hole. But I got a thought from that. Faith works by love. When we are connected, there's trust, there's obedience, there's love. When we love God, our affections are going out to Him. It's going to cause us to be obedient, to serve, to look to Him, and to seek Him. That's when there's trust and there's faith, not just the head knowledge. You know, a lot of people have head knowledge that I believe there's a God out there. And it's like a plug-in. Sometimes they'll get in trouble and they'll try to plug in to God, but there's not the love. There's not the trust and the obedience and the commitment to Christ. And there's nothing there. There's no power there. But when we seek God and that trust and that obedience is connected in our life, that faith that works by love, then there's power there. And we can plug in and we can be connected to Christ. And I thank God for that today, that we can be plugged in to Him. So let's hold fast to what God has given to us in our relationship, the things that He's revealed to us. Let's hold on. Let's hold on to the Lord through all the times. Regardless of what way the world goes and what the world is doing, let's be steadfast and faithful to the Scriptures and what the Lord teaches us. Appreciate your attention this morning.